Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, grant us the grace and compassion to walk as your Son walked, to walk in obedience, to walk in truth, and most of all, to walk in love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The power of forgiveness. The power that sin is forgiven. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Our life as a Christian begins there, in forgiveness. You truly are forgiven. Not on the basis of anything you have done, but because Jesus Christ took my sin, your sin, everyone's sin, from Adam and Eve to all who will ever be born, took all sin upon himself at the cross where he was crucified. All sin is forgiven. It is what Jesus has done, not what you have done, but what Jesus has done by dying on that cross willingly and freely as the perfect sacrifice. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Stop and dwell here. This is key to the gospel. This is key to the good news. The means of redemption was Jesus dying. Sinless and obedient Son of God, who was fully man and fully God, dying on that cross. Actually dying on the cross. A very real death. And it was that death that set aside and satisfied the righteous wrath of God, God's wrath at sin. The holy righteousness of God truly loathes sin. And the stench of sin that stains and corrupts the soul, God would not sweep it under the rug or ignore it or overlook it. Sin stands as a stench in the nostrils of God and had to be dealt with by God and God alone. This is what makes grace and forgiveness so amazing. When we understand that both the wrath of God was satisfied and we are reconciled with God in one action, the Son's death. That is what is meant by Christ Jesus is the atoning sacrifice. Atonement. At one meant. Split the word atonement apart. At one meant. What God intended from the very beginning, we would be one with him. God restored in Christ. We can be one with God. Now, what happens when a Christian sins? Is all hope lost? Is it one strike and you're out? Or 10 times messing up and you're forsaken forever? 1,000 foul-ups and you've punched your own ticket to hell? Well, that's the way we treat people, don't we? Broken people, addicted people, lost and forsaken, hurting hearts and hurting souls. We keep a scorecard. But does God keep a scorecard? No, not at all. Instead, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, steps in and intercedes. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Jesus, the Christ, the righteous one, steps forward and speaks to God the Father in our defense. You have an advocate with the Father. Parakletos is the Greek, and it means one who pleads another cause before a judge. So picture this. Jesus at the right hand of the Father, and you've messed up. You have sinned so badly, your soul is losing all hope before a holy God. Wrath is what you expect from an angry God, but suddenly, Jesus, who is sitting at the right hand of the Father, stands up and walks down and is beside you. Right there beside you, and lifts you up and hugs you dearly as he turns and speaks to the Father. My blood forgives this one's sins. Father, place the full forgiveness of my sacrifice on this one's soul. Father, for I have redeemed and reconciled this one to you. Do you get that image? Jesus standing there saying, I died for this one. I redeem this one. Forgiveness. Etch it into your mind. Etch it into your soul so that forgiveness becomes real in your heart. John is putting forth this reminder in his letter of Jesus' actual dying has done. The false teachers were denying this truth about Jesus. The false teachers were teaching Jesus appeared to have a body, appeared to die on the cross, appeared to rise again. These false teachers were teaching that Jesus was pure spirit, incorporeal. And for this reason, he could not physically die because he did not have a physical body. John labels these false teachers as antichrists and false prophets to make clear how far from the apostles' teachings they had departed. The incarnation was real, and God became a real man. The crucifixion killed a real man. The resurrection was the coming back to life of a real man. And the ascension lifted a real man into heaven. That real man is fully man, fully God, and now at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. John uses very strong language here of antichrist and false prophets in his letter for what their teachings were doing to the community of Christian faith. These false teachers had this new teaching, and they considered it superior to what the apostles taught. So the false teachers left the Christian community. The false teachers, with their false faith, were trying to pull others with them, trying to win converts to their position from the Christian community, and they were tearing the Christian fellowship apart, casting uncertainties and causing doubts in many. Along with the condemning the false teachers, John is writing to bring assurance that what was taught to the believers was the truth, helping to reassure them of salvation and calm their souls. How do you know you're redeemed and have salvation? John writes, look at the way you walk, meaning the way you live your life. Are there fruits of faith in your life? To know Jesus and his salvation, it comes out in your life because you've been transformed by Christ. Want to live like Jesus more and more every day? A hunger, a desire to become Christ-like, more and more every day. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. If we obey his commands. Compare this for the Gospel of John chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. You see, the letter of John is saying the same thing as the Gospel of John. Obedience, relationship, love. These are all parts of truly knowing Jesus. Loving one another as Jesus has loved us. This obedience is not what earns redeeming salvation. No, this obedience flows from the fact that you are forgiven and you are redeemed and you have eternal life. It flows from your love for your Savior. You love Jesus and you deeply desire to be like Jesus and walk as Jesus walked. And it means to regulate and conduct your life like Christ Jesus. Living your Christianity, living your faith in a practical way each day, which includes living morally according to God's word and loving God and loving others according to God's word. So you claim to live in Jesus. Well then, walk as Jesus did. This is not an option. You must walk in the same manner as Jesus walked. If you don't want to walk in Jesus' ways, one can fairly ask, have you been saved? 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Let that sink in. I know Jesus, but I don't want to walk like Jesus. John writes, the truth is not in him, he is a liar. Living like Christ shows you know Christ. John brings in that light, hate, love, and darkness images. 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. Light and love. Darkness, hate. Now you do the theology. 15 years ago, I remember, my wife and I were driving up Highway 77 from Dover heading to Cleveland for a visit. Starting out like any other Tuesday morning, driving and listening to music on the radio, then the news breaks in. A plane has crashed into World Trade Center. Arriving in Cleveland, we turn on the TV and we watch in stunned disbelief. The plane flying and crashing in the tower, being replayed over and over. And then, 9:59 a.m., the first tower, the South Tower, falls. Then at 10:28, the North Tower collapses. And just turning the TV off, not knowing what to say, what to do, we went to Great Northern Mall to shop or just walk around. The mall was filled with an eerie silence, and wandering around for a while, then the announcement came the mall was closing for security reasons. You do the theology. Light and love. Hate and darkness. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Assurance of salvation is seen in walking like Jesus walked, meaning welcoming the broken sinners with compassion and grace, showing love to all, yet also showing strength and righteous indignation
too, such as when Jesus drove out with a whip the money changers and sellers in the temple. Walking in obedience in the way, it shows you know Jesus. Jesus walked in perfect obedience to the Father. And the more you come to know Jesus, the more you love Jesus, the more you walk like Jesus and act like Jesus and have compassion like Christ. It takes practice. It's not easy. But 1 John chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. But if anyone obey his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. You obey his word, God's love comes into you and works its fullness inside of you. And then John continues writing, 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus walked. You live the faith. You live the Christian faith in obedience and love. And the more you live it, the more you'll know, I do know Christ. And I do know I've been redeemed. And I want the same for you. That's living as Jesus, loving as Jesus. Who I've come to know as Christ, Redeemer, Lord and Savior, Son of God, I want you to know. The real truth that sets free. So live as Christ Jesus. Love as Christ Jesus. So that others may see him and know him through you. Amen.